All the major news stories made simple and easy for your listening pleasure. We'll break it down for you in keywords for the segment. We're joined by Adam. Good morning.
Good morning, Lena. That was a very assertive message, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, together the message across, right? Yeah, with a sense of urgency.
Very effective.
All right, I'm glad. I'll send the message along to Taeyong, who used to be part of the Good Morning Seoul team. It's nice hearing from her.
Yeah. Memories.
Let's jump into keyword news. As always, we try to clarify some of these headlines for you. This is our first pick of the day.
Omicron surge.
So the Omicron variant continues to cause concern across the world and is expected to become the dominant strain within this month for South Korea. Mm-hmm. What's the latest?
Yeah, it's not looking very good, unfortunately. There's been more than 1,000 Omicron cases in the past week alone. That's 10% of the whole week's new COVID-19 cases. Now, there are nearly 2,300 Omicron cases in total, the cumulative total so far. From the January 2nd, there's been a 44% surge in Omicron cases, so it is certainly spreading quite rapidly. And in light of this, President Moon Jae-in said it's only a matter of time before the Omicron variant does become the dominant strain. As you said, it's mostly being expected to be the dominant strain this month. And he urged for a swift decision on fourth vaccine shots, which is still an item for debate among many health experts. But Israel, for one, has already kind of started looking into it.
And the U.S. apparently is going to roll it out for the immunocompromised. So those who are at high risk within this week, I don't think the extension to the public is being concerned, but those who are immunocompromised, at least for the time being.
Right. So they are usually the first in line for such new measures.
Yep.
And also oral treatments, they're set to be introduced in Korea this week as well. So we'll have more weaponry in our arsenal against the fight against the pandemic. President Moon also urged for a quick conclusion on whether to expand vaccinations to younger kids. They are on their winter break at the moment, but they've soon been going back to school. Health officials say Omicron is spreading at twice the rate of the Delta variant, and so it is causing concern. And the government is coming up with new quarantine rules that are suited to handling the Omicron surge as well, which is soon to be announced.
So daily infection numbers may have tamed, relatively speaking. However, with another big family holiday coming up at the end of this month, at the beginning of February, I guess some alerts and some alarm sounds are being sung by the KDCA.
That's right.
All right, and on to our global outlook of the Omicron variant. This is our second keyword of the day.
Global surge.
So the Omicron variant is also spreading fast in other countries, namely with the U.S. and Europe seeing record cases on a daily basis. First, let's turn to the U.S. What's the situation like there?
Yeah, again, not looking very good, unfortunately. COVID-19 hospitalizations in the country reached a record high on Monday. That's according to a Reuters tally. And this is, of course, mostly due to this new variant. 2,646 people exactly were hospitalized. That surpassed a previous record that was set in January last year. Hospitalizations have increased steadily since late December, doubling in the last 3 weeks alone. Omicron has quickly overtaken Delta as the dominant version of the virus in the United States, so it's already the dominant version there. While potentially less severe, health officials have warned that just the sheer numbers of infections caused by Omicron could strain the hospital systems, although the symptoms might not be as severe. The seven-day average for new cases has doubled in the last 10 days to 704,000. And only seven states have not set records for COVID-19 cases in the new year. So it just goes to show how quickly spreading this Omicron surge and just COVID-19 cases in total are spreading.
All right. Let's also take a look at the situation in Europe. As we discussed on the program before, it is quickly overtaken by the Omicron variant as well, the daily figures.
That's right. Let's hone in on Italy specifically. There's 2 million people out of Italy's population of 60 million that are currently infected with COVID. The cumulative caseload there is just over 7.5 million cases. Specifically at this time, combined, there are 2 million who are testing positive. Patients in hospital with COVID-19, not including those in ICUs, stood at just over 16,300 on Monday. And because of this, Italy has targeted the unvaccinated with a host of new coronavirus restrictions. Most of these cases are coming from the unvaccinated, especially the critically ill patients as well. One of the measures put in place is proof of vaccination or recovery from a recent infection are required to enter most public facilities such as transport, cafes and gyms and basically any other popular venue.
I mean, this is at a time when, I mean, we're getting more studies indicating that boosters are a must, right? So the unvaccinated are especially vulnerable if you talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at things, if you compare things to Korea, in hindsight, Korea, there's been a lot of debate over this vaccine pass system. And health authorities saying it's needed to protect the unvaccinated and hopefully get the booster shot rate up. But in hindsight, Korea has it a little bit easy compared to some countries in Europe, which are mandating such systems as well. So we do need to kind of take that perspective as well, I think.
All right. So to be mindful of the situation, and there is a reason why it's a very delicate balancing act. We keep going back. We get it. The economy is also strained. However, it is about public health, kind of trumping all else in the last few years.
Yeah. I mean, people's basic right is the right to life, right? Safety and health is, of course, the top priority, and it does trump everything else. Yeah.
Try to talk to the economy minister and try to talk to the education minister, and they all have their own fights as well.
Exactly, but yeah, it is all complicated. Yeah.
On to our third keyword of the day.
Trip to Middle East.
President Moon Jae-in will be making a week-long tour to the Middle East. That's on Saturday. What's on the agenda? Do we know?
Well, he'll be visiting the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt. So a three-nation tour. Starting off his schedule in the UAE on Sunday, Moon will attend a roundtable meeting with business people from both countries and later visit the 2020 Dubai Expo. Moon will also hold talks with the Prime Minister Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum. This is Moon's first visit to the UAE in 4 years, in fact. Last time, the two sides agreed to elevate their ties to a special strategic partnership. We'll have to see if elevated one more time this time round. On Monday, Moon will attend the opening ceremony of the Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week. And he'll also meet Abu Dhabi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan on how to develop bilateral ties. Moon will then travel to Saudi Arabia for a two-day visit on January 18th. And he'll hold talks with the de facto ruler, the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and he'll also attend a business forum there. On January 20th to the 21st, Moon will make a state visit to Egypt. That's at the invitation of the Egyptian President, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. The pair are expected to discuss ways to further develop the comprehensive cooperative partnership between the two nations, according to the presidential office. And the top office also said the Middle Eastern trip is expected to bolster bilateral cooperation in various fields, including energy, construction and infrastructure, as well as public health, science and hydrogen and climate change as well. Along with that, and Moon will return home on January 22nd.
Or just ahead of the Lunar New Year holiday.
Yeah.
All right, on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Defense technology.
So South Korea's defense technologies are making strides, going up in the world rankings. And when we talk about these ambitious space projects, I mean, this is one of the sectors, one of the big reasons why we are in pursuit of it, it seems. What's the latest?
That's right. Space is definitely a big part.
Next frontier.
The next frontier. Very nice. Yes, in Korea's defense technology development. And according to a report by the Korea Research Institute for Defense Technology Planning and Advancement, or South Korea's defense technologies were assessed to be the world's ninth most advanced as of last year. That's out of 16 countries. So it's just about halfway.
In the middle somewhere?
Yeah, somewhere in the middle. But moving up, that's the important thing. Now, the assessment is based on 8 fields of weapon systems and 26 subtypes of weapons. And Seoul's rank gradually rose from 11th in 2008. Joint 10th in 2012 and joint 9th both in 2015 and 2018. In 2018, it was joint 9th with Italy, in fact. No, South Korea was evaluated at advancing technologies in 10 out of 26 types of weapons. They include categories such as artillery, submarines, command and control, as well as air defense and cyber weapons as well, especially with now in the internet era that we're living in. But the KRIT pointed out there is a lack of technology in 11 subtypes of weapons, and that includes radar and space weapon systems, as we mentioned. Now, it said the fields need more attention in crafting and planning strategies for defense R&D. Now, the Institute particularly underscored that Korea needs intensive and strategic R&D in space weapons in light of the nature of future warfare. Seoul notably had the world's fourth largest defense R&D spending on average between 2018 and 2020. That's after the US, China and the UK. but the technical gap between South Korea and the US has widened as well. So we're putting more money in, but we're not really seeing any fruits from the labor, if you wish, if you will.
But is that comparison ever going to be fair, given the sheer scale of the competition?
Yeah, I mean, the spending...
It's not everything, but there it's something there.
Yeah, there is a spending gap between the US and South Korea, and that gap is huge.
Just look at the size of the country.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Moving on to a local set of news. This is our fifth keyword of the day.
Train tickets.
With the Lunar New Year soon approaching, train tickets are open for purchase. But it seems that there are limitations given the pandemic. What should we know?
So another year amidst the pandemic as well. And that's why there are kind of customized measures for ticket purchases. They'll be available online or over the phone only from today until Thursday. They'll be for all rail services from January 28th to February 2nd. Today, from 9 a.m. till 1 p.m., tickets will be available only for vulnerable groups such as the disabled, so they get priority. Tickets will then be open to everyone from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. the following 2 days. Now, the Gyeongbu line will open tomorrow and the Hornam line on Thursday. Do note that a maximum of 4 tickets are allowed to be purchased by one person, so you can't go ticket hoarding, if you will. Now, since there are no new Lunar New Year holiday specific virus curbs, window seats will only be available for now. That could change if measures are announced. Now, offline ticket purchases are available from 3 p.m. On Thursday, so take note of that.
Okay, so there seems to be a really short window to snag those small batch of tickets.
Better get clicking.
It turns out. On to our last keyword of the day.
Delivery strike.
Another complication ahead of Lunar New Year holidays. Unionized delivery workers of CJ Logistics are continuing their strike, which is expected to cause delivery delays, especially during the Lunar New Year holiday when we see a surge. What's the latest?
That's right. The workers have been on strike for about 10 days now, so they're into their second week. They're calling for better working conditions and steps to prevent overwork, something that's been an issue in terms of logistics for quite a while now. Now, it's unfortunately expected to continue. Now, although the number on strike is actually small, some have been complaining that their deliveries are arriving late. Many businesses have actually turned to other logistics companies as an alternative that makes them extremely busy. And in additional 10,000 workers are actually to be hired to handle the Lunar New Year delivery rush as well. From January 17th to February 12th, 3,000 will be brought on for parcel sorting and 7,000 for the actual deliveries. And the Transport Ministry has also advised logistics companies to hold delivery workers less accountable if parcels were delivered late during the period as well.
All right, so be mindful of your orders too, it turns out.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Adam, for today's coverage. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.